At times, Senator Ted Cruz seems to be running not for commander-in-chief, but chief pastor. Here he is addressing a group in Iowa days before the caucuses.
The third and final thing I want to ask each of you to do is to pray. When you wake up in the morning, when you shave, when you're having lunch, when you're lying down in bed, simply take 1 minute and say, Father God, please continue this spirit of revival. Awaken the body of Christ so that we might pull back from this abyss.
And then there's Donald Trump, who epitomizes the greed is good mentality advocated by many billionaires. Trump is attending church again and even quoting St. Paul, though he stumbled badly by referring to the New Testament book known as 2 Corinthians as 2 Corinthians. And it isn't just conservative candidates who have gotten religion. Hillary Clinton told the New York Times her favorite book is the Bible. She is increasingly talking about her Methodist upbringing. And then, of course, there's Senator Bernie Sanders, a self-described non-practicing Jew. Yet he's leading in the Democratic polls in New Hampshire. So what accounts for this mysterious blend of American politics and religion? Reverend Elise Nelson Winger, the chaplain at Illinois Wesleyan University, says people of faith sometimes vote in confounding ways.
Religion and politics, it's an age-old issue and opportunity and problem. I think this overt way of speaking about faith as a politician running for elected office reflects a serious misunderstanding of the role of the politician. You know, I think it's totally acceptable for candidates to share their worldviews, their religious beliefs or their non-religious ones, and to have informed and inspired conversations about why they're committed to public service. But if she or he is going to express those religious beliefs, it comes with responsibility to seek common ground with Americans from all different kinds of backgrounds and beliefs. The truth is, when Cruz invites people to pray, I think that he's misusing his public role as a senator and as a candidate for elected office. Indeed, it can even be coercive to use one's public voice and to call on people to behave in a particular religious way.
Survey after survey, poll after poll shows that Americans think it's important for their presidential candidates to have some sort of religious underpinning. Speaking as a pastor, does the public really need to know a candidate's religion?
What people need to know is what this candidate's vision and policies and plans are for defending and supporting the Constitution and supporting the American people and this country. Now, if one's religious beliefs are part of the framework that inspires and informs their work, there are places where it's appropriate to share that.
What would be appropriate? Sometimes, as we heard in that clip, Ted Cruz sounds as if he's addressing a Sunday worship service.
Again, I think that if one is going to talk about her religious perspectives and beliefs in the public square as a candidate, it comes with a responsibility to connect those beliefs with common shared values with Americans, no matter their background.
Now, a majority of Americans do say that they would not vote for an atheist, and yet an increasing number of Americans are turning away from organized religion. 20% check off none when asked about their religious affiliation. How do you reconcile both of these trends?
Right. These surveys are challenging to understand, but I do think there's a difference between those who choose to disaffiliate or are not affiliated with religious institutions and a belief in God. And so there are those who have a belief in God who don't affiliate with religion. But I also think that, you know, in America, civil religion is so embedded in our politics and in the presidency. I mean,
what do you mean by that, civil religion?
I can't imagine any presidential speech that I have heard not ending with God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Our children say the Pledge of Allegiance at school every day and say One Nation Under God, even though that was a later addition during the Cold War. The president is expected to preside like somewhat like a religious leader in times of national celebration and national tragedy. I mean, Barack Obama preached an amazing sermon in Charleston at the funeral of the pastor who was murdered. My best take on this is that it's hard for us to imagine a president not being in that role. But ultimately, it's a failure of imagination, because there are ways in which a president can be a leader who speaks from her deepest values without using explicitly religious language. And I think it's a conversation that we need to have as a society.
Let's talk a little bit about Senator Bernie Sanders. Now, here's another paradox or irony. He's made no secret of the fact that he is a non-practicing Jew. So what does the popularity of this obviously non-religious candidate suggest?
Well, I think it tells us something about the demographics of the Democratic Party. Unlike the Republican Party that has, by and large, since the Civil Rights Movement and Jerry Falwell's moral majority, aligned itself with the Christian conservative right, the Democratic Party is more racially and religiously and demographically diverse. And Democratic candidates generally lift up the shared values of these diverse constituents. It doesn't mean that religion isn't a part of the picture or that Democrats don't talk about religion, but it doesn't play the same primary role.
Do you think it suggests that America, which has elected only one Catholic, one non-Protestant president, is ready for a Jewish president?
I would hope so, but we are clearly a very divided country on these matters.
How is electing someone who wants to inject their personal religious beliefs into public policy different from what has transpired in some of the Middle Eastern countries, like Iran, say, which follows Sharia law, Islamic law, Saudi Arabia, which follows Islamic law as their civil law?
I think those who talk about a Christian America, who use the rhetoric of God's law, talk about America as a city on a hill, actually have a lot in common with theocracy more than representative democracy. And I think we should just pay close attention to the ways in which explicit religious doctrine is invoked, especially when it comes to law in this country, and then make connections and wonder, how much different is that than from countries who want to see Muslim religious law, for example, as the central legal code for their countries?
Do you have any parting words of advice for people of faith who will be casting their primary votes here in Illinois in a few weeks?
You know, the world's major religious traditions all share an invitation to their adherents to make a better world, to be in the world, to advocate for the poor, to care for the earth, to work for peace. And we have an opportunity as people of faith to participate in that work in civic life. And so I invite people of faith to, like me, look at what candidates stand for and how they share these kinds of values to make a better and more equal society for all people. But to understand that we do that as citizens in a multi-faith and multicultural democracy, and that that is a privilege, but we're not there to make new Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Jews. We are there to share in this work as citizens.
Reverend Elise Nelson Winger is the chaplain at Illinois Wesleyan University and ordained in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I'm Judy Valente.